Blog Talk Radio. everybody. Thank you all for joining us tonight on Blog Talk. We are so excited to be with you all listening in on Blog Talk tonight. We have a very, very, very exciting guest speaker on tonight. Myself, I am your host, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, along with my sister, Minister Sheila Kaiser, which will be going for surgery tomorrow. So I'm asking everybody to pray with us while we're praying with her that she comes out of the surgery with speedy recovery. We already know that she's healed in Jesus' name. In other words, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off with prayer, and I'm going to ask Minister Sheila when I pass it over to her to finish with prayer. Our speaker is running a little late. The weather here in Chicago is a little chilly, and it's raining out, so we're going to give her time to get what she needs and to relax and pray for the ministry that God will have her bringing forth on tonight for our guest speaker, Dr. Serena Wright. So let's get together and join in with prayer. God, we come to you on tonight, O Lord, asking you to forgive us of every sin, things that we said, things that we thought in our minds, which we know that if we were in our minds, it reached our hearts. God, we ask you to forgive us on today. We ask you to allow us to come before you to answer us as we ask you to be our Lord and Savior, as we ask you to just guide us, as we ask you to heal us, to bring us through, as we ask you to heal our loved ones. God, I'm asking you to take my sister into surgery tomorrow. God, relax her heart, her spirit, and her mind. Don't let her worry about how she's going to get to the surgery or from the surgery. Let her know that you have appointed, anointed, and set aside people that are willing to do what needs to be done so that she can go into this surgery well-rested from her mind out of her body, and just out her outcome. God, we ask you to give her speedy recovery. We ask you to just take the doctor's hands, take the anesthesiologist, take the nurses, take everything and everybody that is coming in contact with her tomorrow. Let the room be sterilized. Let them sterilize their hands, their instruments. Let even every gauze, every alcohol wipe, every cotton ball, everything, every instrument that is needed to perform whatever surgery it is that she's going through tomorrow, God, let it be blessed. Let it be sterilized and let it be anointed. We ask you, O Lord, to just cover and bless the woman of God, Apostle Sandra Thomas, to just heal her and to continue to make her dreams come true and continue to bless her family from the oldest to the youngest, God, from her oldest grandchild to the youngest grandchild. God, we just ask you to even bless the ones that's on their way into this world, God. Let her know that she has nothing to worry about because as she has taught and raised, that we know that God is our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Carrier, that he will carry us through whatever it is that we're going through if we just depend on him and trust him. God, I ask you to just bless Apostle Alexa Cecilia Kaiser to let her know, I told her you released in my spirit concerning her yesterday, that you have not forgotten her, that you have appointed her to this time, and you will be carrying her through the places that she has to go, she needs to go, and that she will be going. God, just give her rest. Give her relaxation. And just, God, just heal her body and just let her know that it's not for want what she's going through. It's not for want what she's seeking. God, that you will bring her through, allow her to reach the point and the place that she put in her heart and mind and that she asked you for, God, that we ask you to just answer all of her prayers, answer all of her wishes and her dreams. Because, God, I know that she has asked you for some things in a secret place. You said if you worship me openly, you will bless us, God. She's not ashamed of you. She has made it point that everyone knows that she's not ashamed of you, and she loves you with all her heart. God, I just ask you to just cover her and bless her. I ask you to cover Prophet Antoine Thomas. I ask you to cover Pastor Troy Thomas.
Dr. Serena Wright, Elder Kathy Kendall, and everybody else that's anointed and appointed and that you have told to come through to this ministry, every man and woman of God that has spoke as a guest speaker or have spoke on this line, God, even when they ask for prayer. God, I'm just asking you to just cover Blog Talk, take it to the next level, take everyone that's called to be, that's appointed to Blog Talk, take them to the next level. God, we're just asking you to do what only you could do. I'm asking you, God, to even touch and cover Taylor Thomas, God, to touch and cover Joy Trenise Laws. God, I'm just asking you to deliver and heal on tonight, oh God, to just make every crooked place straight. God, I'm asking you to just answer the prayers of the saints, answer the prayers of each and every one that has put something petitioned before you, that has put something on the altar before you. God, I'm just asking you to just give them the desires of their heart. God, because we know if you don't do it, it's not because you don't want to, it's because it's your choice. We know that you are God and you're God alone and you don't need no help. God, I'm just asking you on tonight, touch our hearts, touch our minds. Give us everything to say and tell us what to do in this day and time. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Don't blame it on my heart, but blame it on my head. And if we don't have the time to go through everything, but God, I just ask you to just cover us on tonight. I'm going to ask Minister Sheila if she will continue on in the prayer, and then we will be checking the lines to see if Dr. Serena Wright is available. Minister Sheila, are you able to pray with us right now?
Good evening, good evening, good evening. And I'm going to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God, our Father, and the Son, Christ Lord Jesus, for another day of life and love and mercy that you have on us. Lord, I thank you to take us all into your hands and to let us know that we are covered in your hands and your boundaries and your love and your life, because yet we are here another day. Day that is not promised, day that so many didn't have, so many didn't make, so many don't have the blessing of loving and understanding and treasuring you. Lord, I ask you to send your angels among us, the ones that doesn't know of you, to learn of you, to understand you, that you are the one and the only one of truth and love and forever forgiveness, to understand that you are our life. You are the head of my life. You are the one and the only one that I love and cherish and the one that I follow. Lord, I thank you for another day, and I thank you to be blessed, because I know through what all I'm going through, so are many others, that you have the life, you have our hand, you can control and to worship you and to understand you, that no matter what it is, you can fix it, you can control it, you can correct it, you can show us the right way. Lord, I ask you to bless all my sisters, my brothers, my cousins, my sons, my daughters, my granddaughters, my grandsons. Lord, I even ask you to bless the ones that is non-relative, non-family, all my spiritual family unto you. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you because without you, it would not be. I would not be. We would not be. Lord, I ask you to bless who all others that is in the hospital going through their trials and tribulations, all aches and pains that I know you can cover, and to help us understand that we could be worse than what it is, but you will correct it. You will straighten it out. You will fix us. Lord, I ask you to fix us and fix us and fix us right among to your life, to your kids. Make your daughters and sons to understand you are the righteous and you are the right way to go. And I ask you to bless me and others that's going through procedures now, tomorrow, the next day, or whenever the day, the ones that have been there yesterday, because yet we are not promised. But I know, Lord, I'm in your hands and always been in your hands, and you can carry us on through all agony, pain, and misery. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I want you to bless all that is on this earth that you have decided to have another day of life and love with you forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Minister Sheila Thiger, for that prayer right there. right there, right now. I just thank you for that. I'm going to check with Dr. Serena Wright. Are you on the line?
I'm on the line, woman of God.
Okay, we're going to turn it over to you to do what God told you to do on tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. I am so glad that I came in time enough to hear the prayer. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes things happen. And so we never take it as a small thing. We never take it for granted, the opportunity to agree together in prayer, because one can put 1,000 and two, 10,000. And so when we gather our hearts together and decide to agree that the will of God would come to pass, that everything that seeks to press up against the truth of what God has declared, that it must release its hold, that it must surrender and go back, it must retreat. When we gather together in prayer to disallow it, then we begin to make things happen. I'm so excited that I got the opportunity to sit in and hear and agree with the prayer. Praise God. We just thank God for you, woman of God. Minister Sylvia Kaiser, we thank God for Apostle Elect. We thank God for those that minister by way of this vision and this platform. We thank God for those that have been faithful to what God has assigned. Hallelujah. It is just so wonderful to be committed to what God has assigned, to make a way, to create pathways for the truth. The Bible says the entrance of the word brings light. And a lot of times if you turn your TV, you know that there is so much darkness pressing against the people in hatred and immorality, and there is so much darkness pressing in bias and objectifications and lies, and there is so much a darkness trying to press in. But don't we know, created for the word of God to enter, it brings light. And my Bible goes on to say that light will always dispel the darkness. Hallelujah. That's why I know that I can always have an answer for the hope that lies down within me, because no matter how far it gets into darkness, all I need to do is bring the word, because the light will dispel the darkness. Hallelujah. Don't you know that hope will extinguish hopelessness? My God, I just thank God today, people of God. I'm so excited about the understanding that God has given us in his word, that we must be those that study and show ourselves approved, that we can become workmen. Mm-mm-mm. Hallelujah. Not that we work to gain, but that we can work the king's agenda, that we can be those that can be given assignments and carry them out without being ashamed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is just such a wonderful time for the kingdom. I hope that as you are going about your day and your life and your routine and your errands and your job responsibilities, that you're opening your mouth and declaring, hallelujah, that this is the best time to be kingdom. Hallelujah. I know for a simple fact, if I was not kingdom, I'd just become kingdom. I would go ahead and confess with, believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he was raised on the third day, and he yet lives that we might walk in the dominion that he has given us in his name over all sin, darkness, and shame. My God, I am so glad that I got in on the prayer. Hallelujah. God is so wonderful to us in that he is the one that has orchestrated for us redemption and salvation. He is the one that has orchestrated for us promise and fulfillment, manifestation and victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is just wonderful that way. And so we are going to move, hallelujah, right into what we know God is wanting to share with us tonight. Listen, if you happen to be listening by the archive, I want you to know that the Spirit of the Lord is going to start speaking to you directly. Hallelujah. Yes, we have what we know God is saying for this day and this time and this moment. And for those that shall listen through the archives and those that may hear me share this word of insight and revelation again on one of the streaming platforms, and for those that are listening live, and for those that will catch it in the middle, and even if you catch that, God is going to begin to speak. I am telling you, like never before have I heard God speak about prophetic destiny. What is that? See, I'm one of those prophetic teachers that likes things to be real simple. I like to put the dots real close together. Hallelujah. Because there are some that are so learned in the word that they have such a revelation. I mean, real revelation from heaven. But you have to get it and listen and digest, because there's so much depth in it. And I love that. It's so replete with information and understanding that brings deliverance, that brings you right to the spirit of the word, that make it alive. And I love that. I love it. I really do. I do. But how many of us know that we are not all the same? Some are going to plant and some will water, but God always is glorified when we do the way he wants us to do it. And so I am that one that likes to break it down into small pieces, or at least as small a pieces as I can get it in. But I do know that the Spirit of the Lord has been speaking to me about prophetic destinies. And so when he said that, I said, God, what exactly are prophetic destinies? My God. And so in the scripture, it says, when you were being wrought in the dark places, hallelujah, I knew you. And so we didn't know ourselves, and we didn't know our parents, and we didn't know our gender, and I want to turn a right turn at the corner and say gender is relative. Gender is assigned based on the expression of the genitalia. That's for another day. We didn't know our gender, and we didn't know, hallelujah, I don't care what the world tells you. Don't you let yourself be convinced that because the world tries to say something is undefined, that they are telling the truth. Do you know that people will get so smart they'll be completely dumb? Because my Bible says God will take foolish things. He will take something foolish, like a organ, and say, this is what this is, and I don't care what you say, you'll never change it. I'm talking, that's for another day. We didn't know our gender. We didn't know our parents, but God knew us before the foundation of the world, when we were being pieced together, when hearts were going into their right chambers and the liver was going right up under the ribs. He already knew the end from those very rudimentary beginnings. And so he said, but there was a prophetic word, because God won't do anything without first speaking. Oh my goodness. So there is a prophetic word that has gone before us. There is a destiny that God has spoken over us that he is seeking that we accomplish, because he has sent his word and it's to accomplish. It doesn't return to him void. And so there are some prophetic destinies. There are some pivotal assignments, and God does everything in his alignment to line us up with that would head us to that prophetic destiny. Now, I don't want us to get too far off track, because don't you know that disobedience and temptations and sin can draw you out of alignment? But I promise you, the finished work of God is like a arrow shooting you to the middle of the target of your prophetic destiny. And like never before, God has been speaking to me about prophetic destinies, about the reason why he brought you from eternity to earth, the assignment that he has placed on your life, on your mantle, on your gift, on your smile, on your embrace, on your friendliness, on your patience, on the assignment that he has placed on what he invested in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so at the beginning of this calendar year, at the beginning of 2018, God began to share with us about prophetic destinies, and that there are some that are going to give birth to something that the earth had never seen, and we were using Mary as the template. You all, please go with me. If you get the opportunity, go back in the archives. There may be even other prophetic voices that have shared this revelation, but I definitely know that God had given us this at the beginning of the year. Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. And so he's using Mary as the template, and he began to talk and explain to us that Mary was right on the edge of something that the world had never seen, that she was about to give birth to the Messiah. But the circumstances were such that it looked like a situation. And the Bible says that this is the situation of Jesus' birth. Stay with me. Stay with me. So we said prophetic destiny, daughter. This is the time. This is the time that the time of your life is meeting what I've spoken over your life, that you're about to push out that thing that darkness was hoping you'd never get out. He was hoping he could depress you so much you'd never push, that he would have that favorite boyfriend leave you and you'd never push, you'd lose that seven-figure job and be so discouraged that you wouldn't push. And this is that time. This is that time. And so he was using Mary and telling us that it was crucial the kinds of relationships we build in this calendar year, because they would be important to our prophetic destiny. And so we walked through the relationship of Joseph to Mary. And if you recall, we talked about him being just and upright and him being unwilling to shame and disgrace her when she comes back from a trip with her cousin. Now, she went away by herself, single and virginal. She went away with a cousin that he didn't know all too well and came back pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Y'all don't want to hear how upset Joseph was. But see, because when you're going to do something that the world has never seen, nobody really has a roadmap but you and the Holy Ghost. And so all she could say was that I'm pregnant by the Holy Ghost. There was no manual for it. Mary is the manual. And just like Mary is the manual, is the template that we'll use. Somebody's gonna use your life as a template, because I promise you, man of God, I promise you, woman of God, you are standing in the middle of your prophetic death God. And so we begin to talk about how Joseph's relationship to Mary was so pivotal. And as you go on in the second and third and the fourth chapter of Matthew, you see that as Mary and the baby were put in danger, do you know the angel that had the strategy to keep them safe kept coming back to Joseph? Oh my God, read the Bible. Let me tell you, if she had been partnered with the wrong person, they might not have had the capacity to keep hearing the angel and keep making the right decisions to keep that thing that the earth had never seen before alive. My God in heaven. And so we see that it was pivotal, the relationship. Now, every relationship is not marital. Every relationship is not man and woman. There are business relationships. There are mother-daughter relationships. There are grandmother-grandson relationships. But what I'm saying is that anyone that comes into your life in this season, chosen has to be of the character of Joseph that we described, because Joseph is pivotal in getting married to the center of that destiny. Does everybody still? My God. And so what then are you saying, Dr. Wright? What exactly? Listen, let me tell you something. So I said, God, well, I'm in my quiet time. I said, God, the only thing I can say is what you tell me to say. Nobody wants to hear from me, my flesh, and my wonderful thoughts. But he kept taking me back to the first chapter of Matthew. And so I said, okay. And I studied and I meditated on it. And he said, now I want you to turn to the second chapter. I mean, to 2 Samuel, the 13th chapter. Will you turn with me? I promise you, as soon as the Holy Ghost is done, we will be done. 2 Samuel, chapter 13. And just write down, if you're writing, go ahead and type it in your phone, destiny or desolation. Destiny. Destiny or desolation. Relationships in this very pivotal time will either take you straight to your destiny or they will leave you desolate. Let's dive into the scripture. Let's dive in. Let's dive in. 2 Samuel chapter 13. My God, we thank you. Listen, this is a story about Amnon and Tamar. Amnon and Tamar. Amnon was the son of David. And the chapter opens talking about David's children, Absalom, and then he had Absalom and his sister Tamar, but then Amnon was the half brother of Tamar. And so we're going to walk through this. We don't have time to read through every verse, but just follow with me. As the scripture goes on, it shows, and we'll go back and highlight some here and there. But as the story goes, Amnon became so overwhelmed with his half-sister, but then he became troubled because it was his half-sister. But he was so overwhelmed and consumed, and when you study it out, it says that Tamar was fair. She was so beautiful that he began to lust and covet even his own sister. But he knew that it was wrong, but the challenge of possibly being intimate with his half-sister had Amnon to the point that he had become physically sick. And so what happens is he has Absalom comes and says, what exactly is the problem? He says, not Absalom, I'm sorry, Jonadab. This is a friend of his. Jonadab comes, and he says, what? He goes to Amnon. He says, look, you're the king's son. What could possibly be wrong with you? You have power to do anything you want to do, say anything you want to say. You could have any woman you want to have. Tell me what could possibly be wrong with you. And so as Amnon begins to tell Jonadab what the situation is, Jonadab says, okay, well, if it's your sister you want, I got an idea. I tell you what you do. You tell your dad, which is King David, that you are really, really sick, but that you want your sister, we're in the fifth verse, you only want your sister to come and help you. That's just how sick you are. You only want your sister to help you. And so I'm going to read verse 6. It says, so Amnon lay down and pretended to be sick. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, I pray you, let my sister Tamar come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat from her hand. And David sent home and told Tamar, go now to your brother Amnon's house and prepare food for him. And so as it goes, that's exactly what Tamar did. Now, mind you, her father, the king, told her, go ahead and do this. Go home and make some cakes. Your brother is sick, and come and sit with him and attend to him until he feels better. And so she did exactly that. And as the scripture goes on to unveil the story that Amnon then told Tamar after she prepared the food, he said, well, I know you have all the food here, but everybody that's in the house with us, make them leave. And so she thought that was strange, but she went on and did exactly what he said. She said, okay, go ahead and make everybody leave. And then he says, wait, then after everybody leaves, I only want to eat this food in the bedroom. And so after he lured her into the bedroom, he raped her. Now, mind you, she was virginal, and this is not 2018. This is Old Testament culture. She was virginal, and he raped her. Not only had he raped and disgraced and shamed her, but that was his sister. And if you read the Bible, I'm telling you, it's better than anybody can make up on a TV program. After he raped her, after he disgraced her, after he'd done such a horrible, vile thing to her, he told his servants, he said, put her out and lock the door. Oh, my goodness. He said, put her out of my house. Put her out of my presence. I don't ever want to lay eyes on her again, and lock the door behind her. And then the scripture goes on to tell us that Tamar was so shamed and disgraced for what had happened to her that she put ashes on her head and tore her robe and just cried and shrieked and wailed. And then verse 20, it says that when she was found by her brother Absalom, she said that she dwelled in his house a desolate woman. It says she dwelled in his house a desolate woman. And so I said, God, I understand this, but what are you taking us to marry? Because it's Old Testament, New Testament, and this was a sister and a brother versus a husband and a wife. And so God said, I'm telling you, I need you to let the people know, like more than ever before, relationships in this season will lead you to destiny or desolation. That the people that you let get your ear, that you let influence your next three decisions, are taking you to destiny or desolation. This is not the time to think that carnal thought. Go by what you hear, taste, feel, smell, and see, but to hear the voice of the Lord, because the next relationships, the next decisions, the next investment, the next buildings, the next programs are going to be ones that will move us closer to destiny or desolation. And so when we look back, we'll just point out what the Spirit of the Lord showed us. We'll just point this out by way of teaching. Hallelujah. And we will be done, because it is so important that we understand the sign of the times. If we're going to be those of our prophetic destiny, or will we find ourselves in desolation? My God in heaven. Let me tell you something. When you look back at how this relationship that led to desolation played out, these are the comparisons that the Spirit of the Lord drew. When Amnon first began to talk about being sick because of how much he was taken by Tamar, it was based on a sexual desire. It was based on sexual lusting, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye. If any relationship based on any lusting, anything filled with lust, insatiable desire, wanting position, wanting lusting, those are not destiny relationships. Because when you look at the relationship with Joseph, the scripture points out very clearly that they had no sexual relationships that were dishonorable to the prophetic destiny. My God. And so he said, let me tell you something. When we think of lust, we can think of sexual lusting, and that is to be considered. But there should not be any lust in our heart. We have got to be confident that this is what the Lord has spoken over my life. I don't have to lust for it. I don't have to grab for it. I don't have to long for it or seek after it in a way that takes me outside of the honorable place of God. This is what God had planned for me. Nothing about lust should ever touch my life. Nothing about lust has any place in getting me anywhere. I don't need the tools of darkness to get to my prophetic. I don't need the tools of darkness to carry me and to promise. I don't need lusting. I don't need insatiability. I will not sit in places of lack and wanting and longing and worry and being made sick because of a lusting for something That is not the place that we should be. Those are not the types of relationships we should engage. Those are not the types of conversations we should have. Those are not the types of thoughts that we should entertain. Anything where you find lusting desires that are making you feel sick, where you say, God, I know that you told me what this girl that you gave me, I know you told me what my daughter's going to do, but mama, you don't have to sit up and be sick about it. You don't have to get to a place where that God has promised you has begun to worry you and make you feel that your hope is deferred. No, no, no. You come back and stand in the confidence of God and you say, everything that's unlike my God, you back up. Oh, no, I don't have to get outside of my kingdom position to get the things that the King has for me. He said that it was his good pleasure to give me the kingdom. This relationship that led to desolation started with lust. It started with covetousness. He wanted it so bad. He wanted it so bad, he was willing to dishonor her, compromise himself, do something that he knew he shouldn't do, pretend and make believe. He was not an honorable and an upright man like Joseph. He was not just and upright. He was willing to deceive and pretend. It said he pretended to be sick so well that he even fooled David. And let me tell you something. There may be somebody wiser. There may be somebody with greater experience that is pointing you in the direction of an investment or a relationship or a partnership that they don't see, that they don't see the pretend. My God, but I'm telling you, man of God, you see the pretend, and I don't care what David said, don't you touch it. Oh, my God, he's speaking. Oh, yes, woman of God, I know that mentor, that one that has poured so much wisdom into you, that your husband or your daughter or that prayer partner that is always so precise in the things of God. There may be someone that loves you dearly. Let me tell you something. It wasn't that David didn't love his daughter. It wasn't that David didn't care about Tamar. He just got tricked. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something, but that's why God will send a prophet to say, I don't care what David says, they are pretending. I don't care what David says, he's not really sick. Oh, yeah, you knew it, and God's confirming it. You said, I knew it, but because David says, I went on and made the bread. No, 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 go ahead and go back. Go back, woman of God. Go back, man of God, and say, no, 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 no. I don't have to go with a pretender. God's going to bring me the promise. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Oh, no, the pretender will take me to desolation. Let me tell you something, because Amnon wasn't just an upright like Joseph. He was a pretender and a deceiver. He was willing to do anything. He was willing to strategize against Tamar behind closed doors, anything to get her to a place that would bring him to a selfish place, that would bring him to his own selfish gratification. But how many people know that when Joseph was placed in a similar place where he could have selfishly exposed Mary, he said he would put her away quietly. My Bible says he was unwilling to expose her. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. There are some pretenders that just might come after you hear this word. And they just might come to try to get you to walk the path of desolation. But God is coming to refresh you. God is speaking to remind you. Stay on the path of your prophetic destiny. David might be tricked, but you won't be. Oh, because God's going to put his finger right on that pretender, right on that one whose heart is not what it seems to be towards you. Oh, let me tell you something. When he was in the midst, in the throes of his deception, he treated Tamar so nice. He said, oh, thank you for making those. Can you just dismiss the servant? Can you please come into the room with me? Oh, he kept telling her how sick he was. He kept make believe like he really needed a help. Oh, my God, God speaking. asking, and they're acting like they need your help. They're acting like they're sincere towards you. Oh, but down in their heart is a vile and a wicked place. Down in that, down on the inside of that contract, man of God, is something that's going to cause you to compromise. Oh, I'll go back and tell them, no, I know my attorney told me to sign it, but I'm going to give you this back blank, and I'm going to wait on my prophetic destiny. Oh, my God, I thank you, because God doesn't want us in the last month of 2018 to walk away from our prophetic destinies and to end up in desolation. Let me tell you, do you recognize that there will be people that will seek to strategize against you, just like there are some Josephs that are just and upright, that are do everything they can do to cover and protect you. There are also some that'll seek to strategize against you. And don't you know that God will never leave us ignorant of Satan's devices, unless he'll get advantage over us. Oh, but let me tell you something. You, woman of God, you're right on target. And God just wants you to stay on track. He doesn't want it to be that at the end of the year, you end up in a desolate place. At the end of the year, that you run into somebody that was willing to bring you to such shame and disgrace that all you end up doing is wailing and crying and living in regret. The scripture says she ripped her robe. She was so regretful and remorseful for what had happened to her. That she all she did was went to her brother's house and lived in desolation. My God in heaven, oh my God, I thank you right now, Father, for how you are so wonderfully precise, so personal, and so willing to expose everything that could threaten our prophetic destiny. For surely your desire is that we bring forth in the fullness of time. In the name of Jesus, we are so grateful that we stand confident against everything that would seek to be vile and wicked against us, everything that would seek to become Amnons in our lives, every relationship where there is a pretender, everywhere where someone has even maybe deceived or gotten past a wiser person, an advisor, a counselor, or someone that we're from, someone that loves us dearly. Oh, but we thank you, God, that you came today to show us that even sometimes those that have good towards you can be deceived, but that you have shown us what those relationships will look like, that those relationships will not be those that are based in uprightness. They will not be those based in honorability. They will not be those, God, where Joseph has gone and been spoken to by the angel of the Lord. Let me tell you something. Do you recognize that Amnon had a friend? He just so happened to have a friend, wicked as he was, that helped him put together a plan. Do you know that when Joseph, my God, that when Joseph was in a dilemma concerning that was in Mary, the only person he spoke to was an angel of the Lord? My God in heaven, it's so crucial that we get ourselves in line with our Joseph assignment, with our Joseph partners, with our Joseph positions. My God, that we understand that we are not lacking and we are not desperate. Hallelujah. If that person that you're in relationship with takes counsel from everybody wicked, don't you know that's not Joseph? If that person that we're in relationship with, if that situation doesn't have anything but wickedness rippling off of it, don't you know that's not your Joseph? That's not your Joseph contract? That's not your Joseph real estate deal? That's not your Joseph fiance? Don't you know that if all of their friends are steeped in wickedness, whoredom, and seduction, that's not your fiance? My God in heaven, don't you know all of those people, all of those situations around your daughter, if all of those people around your son are not leading him, are not leading her back to the prophetic place, don't you worry, because God has already given you all the place to say, no, baby, that's not the one. That's not the friend for you. Oh, yeah, I'm just telling you. I'm not meddling. I just want to let you know that's not the friend. Oh, but God's going to do something for you this year because he promised. God's going to show you this year because he promised. Oh, but don't you start fretting, mother. Don't you start fretting, husband. Don't you start fretting, pastor. No, no, no. This is our prophetic destiny. This is the year, and it shall surely come to pass. But God has given us fair warning. He's showing us what to look for. Nothing to do with lusting. Everything to do with what is just and upright. No one that takes counsel from the ungodly or sits in the seat of the scornful. My God in heaven. Oh, but those whose delight is the law of the Lord. Those that meditate day and night. Those that come back and tell you the name of what God has birthed in your belly. Those are your Joseph connections. Those are your Joseph fellowship friends. Those are your Joseph prayer partners. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, God's just giving us fair warning. Because if he could, he deceived the elect of God. Oh, I know you paid that attorney, but that attorney can't see the pretender. Oh, but God's telling you right now, yep, you heard me. Give the contract back unsigned. Yep, you heard me. That's not the one. That's not it. That's not him. That's not her. Oh, but before the year is out, you are going to give birth to that very thing that's going to transform the world, just like I told you. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we just thank, praise you, we glorify you, and we magnify you. There is no other God like our God, and there is no other king like our king. We thank you, Father, that you have come. Hallelujah. Oh, God, and you have come to let us know, hallelujah, that we can head our way right to destiny and avoid desolation. Oh, I thank you, God, that you pointed out to us those things that will earmark relationships, partnerships, counsel, advice that will lead us to desolate places. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. God, our hearts have already opened and we have received your counsel, your guidance, and your instruction. We sit and wait. Oh, we thank you, Father. We sit as your daughters. We sit as your sons. And we thank you, Father, for what you have spoken. Oh, my God, shall surely come to pass. Because of that, we will forever give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. And it's back to you, woman of God. God bless you so much.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank God for the lesson on tonight that only the woman of God can bring forth, because that's the message God gave her. Do not be waiting and looking for the pretenders. Destiny or desolation, which one are you going to fall into? I thank God for the word on tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing me to be here to hear that word. As she said, some plant, some water, but God get the increase. But watch out for the pretenders. I'm going to ask the woman of God to open the line so that everyone that wants to encourage the woman of God on tonight or say some words to her to let her know how she encouraged you, that you will get this opportunity at this time. Apostle Elect, are the lines open? I'm assuming they are, because I don't know if she's able to talk. But if you have anything you want to say to the woman of God, take this opportunity to go ahead on and say it, please.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. I can say you hit it on the head. That was so powerful. It was so true. It is so what is going on right now. You don't know. Really, some of your family members, even some, as my mom used to say, your so-called friends, they will convince, talk to you, talk you into it, advise you, give you advice and ideas on how to misuse one another. I mean, it's like you should know better, you know better, but you'll do it anyway, and it will lead you to destruction. That is, in other words, just to damnation, because you can't get greedy on this lust of achievement, deception among others. And some do it as a daily activity. I want to say thank you, Dr. Serena Wright, because what your word was on tonight is so much is going on these days between these people on this earth that we need God and the angels to help them. As I say, we need to put a stopper in it. I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you.
Thank you, Minister Sheila, for those words of encouragement. Is there anyone else that has something they would like to say to the woman of God on tonight?
Well, this is Cecilia, and all I'm going to say is after a word like that, good. That was really, really, really good word, insightful, and very rhema. And thank you for even starting off reminding us about the importance of prayer. And prayer and agreement. Just awesome words. Thank you, Dr. Wright.
Yes, thank you so much, Apostle Elect, for the words of encouragement to Dr. Serena Wright. Is there anyone else that would have words tonight? Well, I would like to say thank you, Lord, for delivering me from my lustly eyes and my lovely self. Thank God for deliverance. Amen. Amen. If you can't say ouch, say I. So on that note, I'm going to ask Dr. Wright if she have any cheap plugs, and if not, if she would like to close us out in prayer on tonight.
So much, woman of God. I am so excited about what God is making sure that we preserve in our prophetic destinies, in our individual prophetic destinies. And I do thank you for this opportunity. I want to invite everyone to a refreshing at the Fountain, November 9th and 11th, this coming Friday and Sunday, a refreshing at the Fountain. And the guest speaker on Friday will be Apostle Sean Johnson. And then there is a bishop. His name is not on the flyer. I can't think of it right now, but I do know that we are looking forward to hearing him speak November 11th, which is Sunday at 3:30. So that's a little different time for us, a different start time for us for Sunday. But Apostle Sean Johnson will be on Friday at 7:30, and the man of God, a bishop, friend of Pastor Troy Thomas, will be on November 11th at 3:30. And so it is a refreshing at the Fountain of Living Waters at 4244 West Madison. And so we really hope that those of you all that hear our broadcast, maybe even in the archives, if it's before Friday or Sunday, that you would stop by and share with us. Please continue to come out and fellowship with us on Sunday. Pastor Troy Thomas is our pastor at the Fountain of Living Waters Church at 4244 West Madison. We're there. That's why I said normally our service is at 8:30, but
on this Sunday, November 11th. It'll be at 3:30. And so we love to have you come out and share with us. The Spirit of the Lord is always moving there. He's moving a lot of places, but I just know where he's moving, where I am. And he is definitely moving at the Fountain of Living Waters, and we are so excited about that. And so other than that, we just continue to agree with the woman of God, making petition on behalf of Apostle Sandra Thomas, who is walking in the absolute miraculous of God, and continuing to instruct and teach and pour and share and live, hallelujah, in the glory of her King. And so we are just continuing to call her name out before the Lord, and we thank God for those petitions that have gone up on her behalf. And other than that, we don't have anything else. Should I pray?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much. Hallelujah. God, that we all choose destiny over destination. We put far behind us every relationship that would mislead us, that would corrupt us, that would misguide us, that would distract us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, that we have chosen again our destiny, those prophetic words that are spoken over our lives. God, we're looking with even a more keener eye into that would seek to take us off course. And we know that listening to you and obeying your instructions, that we will walk directly into our prophetic destinies. We thank you right now. We give you praise and we give you glory for all that you have done on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We thank God for the word of tonight. We thank you all for tuning in.
So as the word say, choose ye this day. We're either going to choose destiny or destination. The woman of God taught us on tonight to watch out for the pretenders. Make sure the people that you're surrounding yourself with are people that are choosing the destiny that God has appointed for them. I should say, we want to say we love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you all for tuning in again. Don't forget, we are here every Friday night from 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. And sometime you could catch Elder Kathy Kendall on Facebook Live with God Still Heals. We're here also every Sunday morning at 8:30 Central Standard Time. And 9:30 Eastern Standard Time with Apostle Lex Cecilia Kaiser and Minister Sheila Kaiser, along sometime with Minister Brandon Kaiser with Let's Talk. And whatever you do, please don't forget our foundational scripture, which is brought to you from Matthew 6 and the 33rd verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So with that note, we're going to end it with destiny or desolation. Watch out for the pretenders. Good night and be blessed. We love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.